It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast, available, of course, every morning on iHeartRadio, Spotify and Apple, and wherever you get your podcast from across this weekend. Hope it's going well at your place, November the 26th today. And coming up this morning, we have our 7 days of real estate. This is where we get to look back at some of the interviews over the last 7 days. And it all started on Monday with Claudia Conley, the community manager from flatmates.com.au. Now, they have had one of their busiest years ever. There's a real shortage of rooms to offer people. We talk about that. Also talk about the 65 plus people that don't just rent out to make a bit of money, but rent out for some company, because there is this lonely aspect, so people turn to getting a flatmate. We also spoke to Lockie Reed in Launceston about some of the pricing, and he mentioned a property he's got on the books for $280,000. It sounds all right. Also, Matthew Hughes, the founder and managing director of Capital Property Advisory there in Perth. Now, we look into the future for next year and beyond in terms of what might happen in the Perth property market. Jake Kane, the president of the Real Estate Institute of Victoria. And we had a look at the crazy bidding styles. And Varsha Daswani, the principal from SAI Real Estate Group in Brisbane. She is talking about the Brisbane property market. So that is all on the way in just a moment. If you're celebrating your birthday, many happy returns. Rita Ora, the singer, is turning 32. And another singer, Natasha Bedingfield, haven't heard from her for some time. She's turning 41.
It's the main centre forecast.
Around the country, Sydney we go, mainly fine today, little bit of cloud cover, your high 29. Melbourne expect the showers to ease a little bit today, temperature down to 20. Brisbane should be mainly fine with some cloud in 28. And in Perth, the winds, yes, they're going to ease a little bit. It's going to be a cloudy day, but another extreme hot day with 39.
Remember, we are not a real estate company. We are 100% all about increasing your awareness and knowledge for buying and selling properties.
I do think a lot of people have turned to share accommodation, and a lot of homeowners have turned to share accommodation and renting out their spare room to help offset all of the rate rises and also the rising cost of living. I will say, though, for many people, it isn't just a financial reason as to why they enter into share accommodation. We have many homeowners and empty nesters over the age of 65 using flatmates.com.au. And for many of them, the financial benefit of renting out their room is just one of the many benefits. Another benefit is definitely the companionship and the safety that living with someone can provide.
Well, that's really interesting, because loneliness has really sort of taken some new numbers, particularly since COVID. So is that sort of, do you think, a result of COVID and the way that people do, you know, want that companionship if they're over that age of 60, 65?
Definitely, particularly in the regions, or if people, you know, are from country towns or regional areas and their families may have moved to larger cities. If they're living by themselves in their region or in their area, living with someone can help, like you said, to tackle that loneliness that many Australians are feeling post-COVID.
What about some of these suburbs around Sydney and some other areas that you're highlighting, which are spiked suburbs as a result of, you know, people looking for shared alternative living?
So, yes, as you said, Sydney is one of our busiest cities and is one of the most in-demand cities, not only in Australia, but around the world. There's multiple suburbs in inner city Sydney that have hundreds of people looking for accommodation on flatmates.com.au in these areas with zero rooms available. So if we look at Elizabeth Bay, for example, there's 188 people looking for a room to live here. and there's zero rooms available. Curl in Sydney has 148 people looking for a room with zero rooms available. South Coogee, 146 people looking to move here, zero rooms available. So as you can see, there is immense demand for inner city Sydney, yet there's not enough rooms available to keep up with everyone who needs a place to live.
Now, that is kind of highlighting Sydney. Obviously, that is a real squeezed city at the moment. But what about the regional areas? Because it's not just, as you were saying, confined to metro areas.
That's right. So all across the country, we are experiencing this rental crisis, and it is touching many corners of Australia, including the regions, particularly on the mid-north coast of New South Wales and up in Queensland. There is just immense demand for these areas. If we look at places like Coffs Harbour, Byron Bay, anywhere on the beach, really, we are seeing immense demand with not enough rooms available. And it's often in these areas up in regional beach towns where there are quite large houses, you know, 4 or 5 bedroom houses even, with 1 or 2 people living in these homes. So I really want to encourage homeowners in these areas, if you do have a spare room or two, if you're feeling the pinch a little bit, if you're feeling a bit lonely, renting out a spare room in your home could be a great way to make some additional income. The median rental price for a room in a share house across Australia is $290 per week. But if we look at places such as Sydney, the median weekly rental price here is $350 per week. So there is quite some income that homeowners can be earning from renting out those spare rooms that might be sitting empty.
Explore new property destinations where you could live with exclusive interviews covering real estate news and market insights.
Saving my deposit as a young agent, I was 18 when I first started, or I was 17, almost 18. It was really hard to obviously to get the deposit together, but I'm so glad I did purchase when I can, because I can see obviously there's continued growth on the horizons, and the sooner you get in, the better. And I think that's been the case for so many years. And I think it's important that, you know, you're saving every penny you can too. And there's shared equity schemes out there at the moment, particularly in Tasmania, that have been great in supporting the continued growth. And if you can get onto one of those through Bank of Us in Tasmania, then I think you're at a better chance of getting into the market sooner.
It should be easy to sort of save, shouldn't it, in Launceston? Because what else are you going to do? You might as well just save your money.
Well, you could be travelling places. I mean, but I think the cost of living in Launceston obviously is similarly, but I mean, it's not to the extent of those in the cost of living crisis in Melbourne and other places, but things are still expensive here. And I mean, wages, average sale prices in Tasmania are obviously less than those of other states, but I mean, wages too are lower. So it can be hard still for some people.
And just talking about the affordability, now, I think it was you that maybe sold this. It was a, 1960s cottage located in West Tamar. Tell us a little bit about this one, Lockie, because the price point sounds pretty reasonable at $340,000.
$340,000, that's right. So it's a small little township called Kelso, just out of Launceston, and it's about a 45-minute drive. It's nearby, like there's not much within Kelso, but nearby there's some small townships like Exeter and Beaconsfield and Greens Beach. I mean, it's a lovely little township. There's not many people that live there, but this was just a small little 2-bedroom cottage. It was renovated inside and had a couple of sheds on a small low-maintenance block, and sold it for $340,000.
Now, is that an unusual price, or is that just what you buy property for?
That's just what you buy property for in some regional areas. I mean, I have another one in eastern Tasmania in Winnaleah, and that one's $280,000, and that one's under contract at the moment. There's still certainly some affordable options here.
And Launceston auctions, they're not really something that are pushed, are they, in Launceston?
No, I think whether it's because the market here isn't comfortable with the process, or they don't fully understand it, I don't think a lot of agents have done it. I mean, I got in a few years ago into the market, but it's never been something that's really been pushed here. And auctions, I mean, in the right market and the right property, of course, auctions work really well. But they're just not something that's commonly done here. And so, you know, we don't really see them happen very often.
Now, Launceston, tell us a little bit about the fact that it's not a large city, although it's significantly bigger than when I used to live there. Being small has its advantages, of course, being a real estate agent. So how does that help you in terms of networking?
It's great here. I find a lot of the times I go to appraisals and things, and I'm referencing sales that I've made over time, and often people say, "Oh, I know the owners of that. I know who bought that." And it's just a great way to obviously build rapport with my clients, and I find it really well. And obviously, getting listings too, it's often through referrals, and I find that that's often the way that I get my listings. And it's such a small place. I mean, you drive or you go into Coles and you see like five people that you know, and I mean, some people wouldn't like that, but I love it here, and I love that. The fact that, I mean, it definitely helps in our industry too.
Each week, we bring you in-depth real estate discussions, including inspiring stories from homeowners, knowledgeable real estate professionals and economists. Whether you're a buyer, seller, or just a real estate enthusiast, we are your ultimate property podcast.
Yeah, Craig, as you probably know, demand's been really high, and despite the low stock levels over here, transaction levels have been very high. So to give you a reference point, pre-COVID, we were hovering around sort of 400 to 500 transactions per week. Now we're up around the 900 to 1,000 level pretty consistently, and sometimes going over 1,000. Properties are selling on average in just 8 days. That's our median days on market at the moment, which if you think about it, is pretty close to zero when you factor in the time it takes to actually list and sell a property and open it and field offers and negotiate. So that's the median across all suburbs. And then a lot of the areas that we're targeting are selling even quicker than this. And so what we're finding is if you don't have a relationship with an agent, which we do in our target areas, then more than likely you're either missing out or you've got to be hyper aggressive with your offer, and can often result in people overpaying for properties. And that sort of buyer behavior is continuing to push the prices higher here, with our rate of growth still increasing. We've seen the rate of growth trending up over the last 5 or 6 months, and it's now tracking at nearly 20% per annum if you annualize it from the October figure.
I think now is probably a good time to ask you what we're going to be looking like in the future, because I see that dwelling approvals in Perth, they're still languishing, aren't they, at about half of where they need to be able to keep up with the demand. And if the demand is so high and nobody is building, what does the outlook look like for, let's say, the 2 to 3 years into the future for WA?
Grim is probably the word. I don't think you have to be a property expert to predict that we're going to continue to experience more growth based on those supply and demand dynamics. And as an advisor, I guess historically I've always tried to avoid hyping the market too much. We're just trying to report the facts. But in reality, we are actually now experiencing boom levels of growth, and there's nothing to suggest this is going to slow down anytime soon. So I'm sure we're not going to keep tracking at near 20% growth per annum forever, but given the supply and demand dynamics and the fact that we're nowhere near an affordability ceiling over here, I think we're going to see continued upward pressure on prices for at least 2 or 3 years, in my view, possibly longer.
Yeah, okay. So that's 2 to 3 years into the future. Let's just have a look at Q1 for 2024. I say Q1 because it's not too far away, Matthew. What do you think immediately potential buyers should be looking at in the first quarter of next year?
I think urgency is probably key. I think if you've got any plans to get into the market at any time in the near future, if you have the capacity to do it now, then you should. Obviously, your dollar is worth less every day that you're sitting on the sidelines with us tracking at 1.6% in October. And so if that sort of rate continues, you're talking about $9,000 or $10,000 a month on the median in terms of growth. So if you are thinking about doing something, then I would act with urgency. Obviously, be patient and find the right asset. But when you do find the right asset, certainly you need to apply some tempered aggression to get into the market.
We unpack all the important stuff so you're better informed. Know your property with us on the Real Estate Podcast.
How much of a factor is it where vendors will want to transact and make a sale before Christmas? Because if it doesn't happen, a new marketing plan has to come into effect into the new year. It is more time, it is more money, so the focus really should be there to get the deal done. And then, of course, if we've also got swilling around in the back of our minds a possible rate rise, there's plenty of motivation to transact, isn't there?
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, I think you're bang on. Timing becomes critical. Given all of those considerations you've just laid out there, if you're not selling before Christmas, it's potentially going to have a massive impact on the amount of money you walk away with when you do eventually sell, whether that's late January, whether that's February, or even later. So you're absolutely correct there.
We were talking about this the other day. Some of the crazy bids that people are now seeing at auction time, it was reported that maybe the block has something to do with it. These incremental bids, what do you reckon? Is there a call that it's possibly television viewing that is to blame?
I think almost certainly that people watch reality television and they think that there are real world applications for those strategies. It's interesting. I've heard of these, you know, $1.20 bidding increments, and the Real Estate Institute trains auctioneers. And every year we also host a novice auctioneer competition and a senior auctioneer competition. And if you've ever seen one of these, they are the most brutal bidding conditions you'll ever witness. They put the block to shame. The judges are trying to bamboozle the auctioneers with crazy increments. They, rather than just giving them a dollar figure, they say, oh, actually add some amount and take it off. And so the auctioneers are actually prepared for that kind of bidding increment. Although it's unusual to see that, they are trained to handle really perverse or peculiar kind of bidding increments. I think from a strategic perspective, I read an article where an auctioneer said they don't think it's a great idea because it would irritate the auctioneer. I'd be more concerned as a bidder using that strategy that I'd irritate the competition, really. Auctioneers, they're comfortable. They'll roll with it, with whatever people put in front of them. But the other people in the crowd who you're bidding against, you don't want to irritate them. And that's a tactic, I think, that might lead people to go, oh, I'm just going to bid up 5,000, or I'm going to bid up 10,000 or something like that. You know, it probably inspires frustration in the people you least want to get frustrated or aggravated.
The skyline is constantly changing, growing and expanding. We deliver the most property podcasts across Australia every week.
I think that one of the key takeaways would be property prices have actually kept rising for about 10 months in a row, despite of 13 interest rate rises, high inflation and reduced borrowing capacity. And that says it all. Again, it's just incredible to see this kind of, you know, positive growth in the market space, in the property market space. In terms of the rents are still going up. It keeps on increasing, but more slowly for the remainder of the year. So it still is looking really strong, the rental market, and in the next year as well, I think it will still keep on growing. In terms of the property market in Brisbane, the Brisbane property prices have increased by 0.4% over the last week, and it increased 1.2% over the last month and are up to 11.1% year to date, and also 9.6% higher than they were in 12 months ago. So overall, it has been really positive for the property market, regardless of whatever was predicted. So never go on the predictions, I would suggest. Just, you know, keep your hopes high. And the property market is always looking strong as usual, Craig, at this point in time.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.